It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
It is not at all clear to me why it is that cash, as opposed to a check or a wire transfer, has made this into a news story. You know, maybe because it kind of feels like some spy novel or, you know, some crime novel, because cash was exchanged. The reason cash was exchanged is because we don't have a banking relationship with Iran, which is precisely part of the pressure that we were able to apply to them.
In a stunning mockery of the news story yesterday that we talked about, $400 million in cash on an unmarked plane delivered to Iran just hours before, or we're not exactly sure the timeline, but within 24 hours of the hostages being released from Iran, telling us that there's nothing to see, that this news story's already been out there, we already knew that, that is a lie. And laughing about it's like some spy novel. Yes, it is. Because we can hardly believe that our president would do something so deceitful. And the reason it was done in cash is because by law, we cannot deal in cash with the Iranians. Congressman actually tried to find out what are we giving them? They never found out. But the Wall Street Journal reported now, many months after the deal was made, what happened just a few months ago. This is Sandy Rios in the morning. Certainly, we've been talking all week about how things are getting more and more dangerous. This same president, at the same time that we are now the greatest funder of worldwide terror, because Iran is the greatest purveyor and provider and expediter and trainer of worldwide terror, which has been turned back on us, including ISIS. So now we gave them a whole bunch of cash, which we know what they're going to do with. At the same time, this president was very clear about what he had in mind for the American people and their ability to protect themselves from this kind of attack. Let's listen to what he said, Obama, in 2008.
And you go into some of these small towns in Pennsylvania, a lot of small towns in the Midwest, the jobs have been gone now for 25 years and nothing's replaced them. And they've gone through the Clinton administration and the Bush administration. And each successive administration has said that somehow these communities are going to regenerate, and they have not. So it's not surprising then that they get better and they cling to guns or religion or antipathy toward people who aren't like them or anti-immigrant sentiment or anti-trade sentiment. A way to explain their frustrations.
All right. That was taken at a live appearance, but you'll remember, if you couldn't quite hear that, that you and I are clinging to our guns and our religion. And that's how it all began. And so John Lott has just written a book because really, honestly, we must not lose our Second Amendment rights, and they are under assault. John Lott has just written a book called The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. And the truth is they are coming for our guns. Professor Lott is a good friend, but that's not his claim to fame. He's an author, a lecturer, a nationally famous economist, Nobel laureate Milton Friedman. I'm not sure how many people can say this. Milton Friedman is the gold standard of the free market. John Lott has few equals as a perceptive analyst of controversial public policy issues. He's held research teaching positions at the University of Chicago, Yale, Stanford, UCLA, Wharton Rice, and I could go on and on with John's qualifications. And the reason I'm sitting with it for a minute, because John's been our guest a lot, is I want you to understand how serious his qualifications, how skilled he is, and honestly understand that John has devoted his life to a very unpolitically correct issue among academia, and he's paid a high price for that. This is his probably most powerful book so far. Again, it's called The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, John.
Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Oh, I need to say you are the founder of Crime Prevention Research Center. You really are the go-to person on the stats when it comes to gun control. John, why this new book? You've written, More Guns, Less Crime. You've done so much research. What's new about this?
Well, there's a lot new, but I guess the reason why I wrote it, I thought so much is at stake right now in this election. So much misinformation has been being put out that somehow I had to put together information for people to make sure that they kind of understood what's at stake and understood what the truth is with regard to all these claims that have been made over the last couple of years. We've really seen an evolution of how the debate over guns has changed over the last 5 or 6 years since people like Michael Bloomberg and George Soros and others have gotten deeply involved in the debate. It used to be pretty much a legislative debate. But what's happened is that Bloomberg and Soros and others are literally spending hundreds of millions of dollars on funding research that supports their position. And when that research gets put out, the media writes literally thousands of uncritical news stories within a week or two after each of these studies get put out. And Bloomberg's also working with places like the University of Columbia. He's been funding a program where they've brought in journalists from around the country to teach them, in his views, how to properly cover the gun control issue. I mean, you could just imagine, could the NRA join with Columbia University in order to teach reporters how the NRA thinks that reporters ought to be covering the gun control issue?
Yeah, not so much.
Taken seriously. But, academics and others don't seem to have or reporters don't seem to have a problem with any biases or systematic problems that exist with the work that Bloomberg does, as if somehow he's an unbiased observer in this whole debate.
John, let me just interject for a second, because it's interesting. I don't claim to have a tremendous breadth of knowledge about Michael Bloomberg. My impression is, he's been very popular as the former mayor of New York. He seems like a man who is just become dumb with his wealth, and that happens a lot. People that have like billions of dollars sometimes lose touch with reality. He seems like he has another reality in his head. But George Soros is a wicked leftist who is spending billions to undermine and destroy this country. So it's a very interesting pair that are funding these kinds of studies. What kinds of things are they saying? I know this is a hard question because there's so much information in your head, but what's one example of one of the most egregious studies that they've published?
Well, I mean, they'll put out studies that will claim that background checks on guns or gun licensing has been important for reducing crime, but they'll pick one state, selectively pick the year. So, for example, they'll look at Connecticut, and they'll say between 1995 and 2005, after Connecticut passed gun licensing laws, the firearm murders in the state fell by 40%, which is true. But it's not very useful just to go and say that. If you have 19 states that have passed similar types of laws, you can't just pick one out of 19. And you also have to compare it to what's been happening in the rest of the country. And even beyond that, this study just came out last year, and you think, well, okay, so it came out in 2015. Why did they pick 2005 as the last year? That's a lot of data that's come out since then. Then you find that just adding one more year to the data, looking at 2006, would have changed even the results that they had there. And so if you look at 2006, for example, Connecticut would have only had a 16% drop, and the rest of the United States would have had a 32% drop. And so you would want to hold up something like that as evidence that this particular law had a beneficial impact. What you need to do is, and I think any serious study that I would have been involved with, would have looked at all the states that had adopted these laws, both before they'd adopted it, when they got rid of them in some cases, or the reverse, and to compare them year by year to how crime rates were changing in the rest of the country for states that hadn't changed their laws in that particular way. But, you know, it's not like they have to meet the what I would consider a rigorous test, and it's not like the media really cares. I think the media, in most of these cases, just cares about what the final outcome is and whether it kind of fits their narrative.
Well, and yes, and of course they are partners with this narrative. I mean, as you talk about a great deal, I know, in your book, about the fact that the media is cooperating in this deception, and that won't be a shock to anybody listening to me. They cooperate in the deception on almost every single thing. In fact, John, I'm curious to know, what kind of response are you getting? Are you getting interviews on ABC and CBS and NBC?
No.
Yeah, they won't even, I bet they don't even return the calls, I'm guessing.
Well, I know we try to get things in places like that, but, you know, these other studies that Bloomberg gets puts out get massive coverage in places like that. It's amazing how much Bloomberg, how much sway he has with the media. There's been multiple times over the last few years where I'll get a call from CNN or somebody to ask me to come in to the studio to do an interview, and I'll be told that I will be debating somebody from Bloomberg's gun control group. But then they go and they tell the Bloomberg people that I had agreed to debate, and the Bloomberg people will insist that I not be included. And I'll get calls on my way in when they'll disinvite me from being involved in the debate. There was one case where they weren't able to kind of get their way on C-SPAN last year on Washington Journal. They had agreed to an hour debate, and then when they were told that I was going to be involved, they, first of all, insisted that I not be included. And when C-SPAN said, well, we've invited him, he's going to be there, then they said that they couldn't show up. And then they thought it would be canceled, but C-SPAN said, well, we're still going to go ahead with it. And at that point, they said, okay, well, we'll do it, but Lai has to go first for a half hour by himself so we can listen to what he's saying, and then we'll be willing to do it for a half hour. Yeah. And they end up doing it that way, but the C-SPAN producer was sufficiently ticked off that she actually kind of advised me to bring up the fact that they were unwilling to appear on air at the same time as me. You know, there's so many studies that get put out there. I'll give you one last year that got massive U.S. and international coverage. It was the claim that 36% of the mass public shootings in the United States, or 36% of the mass public shootings in the world were from the United States since 1966. I tried to get the data from the person so I could see the cases, because I just don't believe it. I've actually, in my book, Chapter 7, go through and list mass public shootings from around the world, list them in Europe and the United States so people can check for themselves. And Europe actually, during the Obama administration, for example, has had more casualties from mass public shootings than we've had in the United States.
It's amazing.
What?
John, we're going to run out of time. One of the things that you've said many times on this program is that people, when they label or areas gun-free zones, that's an invitation. And when guns are allowed, there are far less shootings. That was part of your first book. This is a great book, and we're going to talk to John longer on it, but I wanted you to be aware of it because it just came out. It's called The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. And by the way, Hillary Clinton is joining with President Obama. She says the Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment, and just fasten your seatbelts because this is going to be a target, and that your Second Amendment, your ability to defend yourselves with your guns is going to be taken away, I believe, most powerfully if Hillary Clinton is elected. John, it's always a privilege. Crime Prevention Research Center is, we'll put these links on our Facebook page so that you can get the book, you can get the website link. John, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. It's about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, the healthcare law includes a special provision for MediShare members, so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable healthcare without compromise. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What was the greatest obstacle between you and salvation? Now, it might seem like the biblical answer is sin, but I think there's one obstacle that was bigger than that, and that was the love God the Father had for God the Son. Just imagine choosing to send your child into suffering, humiliation, torture, a certain excruciating death. But God's Word says that He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? So, if you ever doubt how much God loves you and whether He is truly for you, consider what it cost Him to bring you into His family. Get more encouragement daily from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. Alex Mesta thought he was doing a good deed, but instead he got fired. Alex worked for a Jack-in-the-Box in Bakersfield, California. He served an Army veteran 2 free tacos, retail value 99 cents. The 19-year-old's good deed was captured on surveillance video, and he was eventually fired, accused of mishandling funds. Turns out he'd also given another veteran free cups of coffee. Word of his firing spread on social media, and soon there were calls to boycott the fast food chain. But the company says Alex was let go for previous infractions. Regardless, the fast food company did have grounds for dismissal based on what we do know. Alex should be commended for honoring those military veterans, but he had no right to give away the company's food. Alex learned a very important lesson. There's no such thing as a free lunch. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I do not believe that the NRA represents most gun owners. They sure don't represent the majority of Americans. But they have so intimidated elected members of Congress and other legislative bodies that these people are passing the most absurd laws. The idea that you could have an open carry permit with an AK-47 over your shoulder walking up and down the aisles of a supermarket is just despicable. So I'm going to speak out. I'm going to do everything I can to rally people against this pernicious, corrupting influence of the NRA. And we're going to do whatever we can. I was proud when my husband took them out, and we were able to ban assault weapons, but he had to put a sunset on. So 10 years later, of course, you know, Bush wouldn't agree to reinstate them. We've got to go after this. And here again, the Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment. And I am going to make that case every chance I get. So I will need your help on that.
All right. So that's Hillary Clinton and how she stands on the Second Amendment, just so we're clear. You know, it was interesting. I was just talking, by the way, Sandy Rios back with you. We were just talking with Professor John Lott on his new book about guns. And so we were talking about the the backing of George Soros and Michael Bloomberg for Hillary Clinton, against the gun, against the Second Amendment, and to restrict and actually delegitimize the Second Amendment. They've been working on that, spending billions on that. And that ties into this next story I want to tell you, and that is that billionaires are lining up behind Mrs. Clinton to support her, the same billionaires we just talked about, and including even more than that, Hewlett-Packard Enterprises CEO Meg Whitman, who ran for Senate in the Republican Party in California. Charles and David Koch, the Koch brothers, you know, are refusing to support Trump. And so they are, of course, Whitman is, they are not going to be working actively to elect Hillary, but they are not going to, Meg Whitman is going to actually help fund Clinton. And then there's Steven Spielberg and Jeffrey Katzenberg and Warren Buffett, George Soros, and Walmart heiress Alice Walton, spending their money to support Hillary Clinton. In fact, George Soros, the leftist Hungarian immigrant to America. I'm sorry, I'm stumbling this morning. I've got so much to tell you, so let me just settle down and speak clearly. George Soros is the enemy of this country. He just is. He funds everything that undermines and undergirds, dissimulates American society. He hates us. He said he would spend just about everything he had to defeat George W. Bush when he ran the first time. He didn't succeed, but he's still at it. He's spending billions. It's just amazing. He's the one that's been funding, you know, the religious left, because it's always more powerful to peel off Christians and get them to say they're Christians and then work against, you know, moral causes or really good clauses and claim that, you know, you're a pastor or you're a Christian or whatever. So that's what Soros has spent his time and money on. But this is a stunning article that I did not get to share with you yesterday. This is in the Daily Caller. And by the way, I should tell you, we're going to open the phone lines. Yes, we are. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Just hang on. I'll go to the phones in just a minute. But I have a couple of things I just have to tell you. This is an article we will put on our Facebook page, and this is why. It's written by Richard Pollack. Former President Bill Clinton collected $5.6 million in fees from GEMS Education, a Dubai-based company that teaches Sharia law through its network of more than 100 schools in the Middle East, Asia, and Africa. The company's finances strictly adhere to Sharia finance, which includes giving zakat, a religious tax of which one-eighth of the proceeds is dedicated to funding Islamic jihad. The company also contributed millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation. There's so much more to say about that, but we are going to put that article on our Facebook page so that you can read it for yourself and share it. And I would say that we've talked a lot about Sharia this week. In fact, I'll go to some of the, let's see, I'll go to some of the email right now if I could find the list that I was going to use here. Yeah, okay, so I'm just going to read you the ones that can actually be read, because there's a lot of really bad stuff on Facebook this week, just foul that I can't even repeat, but this is one that I can repeat. Rios is a disgrace to the people of the United States. May she rot in hell. That's because of the things I said about Mr. Khan and his wife, and I reported and continue to, and it's on our Facebook page, and you can read the research on Mr. Khan, who is a Sharia-compliant Muslim, which means, trust me, when he held the Constitution in his hand, that was a complete and total fabrication. That was theater to advance the Islamic cause, using the death of his son to do that. And so I'm a disgrace, and you heard that. Anyway, so Bill says, I can't believe what you said about Captain Khan. Have you no sense of decency? Other people in the media are going to come hard at you for your hate. Have you no shame? It's all about sick ratings and a false narrative of your pathetic views, huh? Anyway, I could go on and on. But this is what, I'm going to take time with this. These kinds of comments, you know, who wants them? But it doesn't deter me from speaking the truth. I mean, it doesn't matter to me what they say or what they think. I am compelled. I must speak the truth. So you can say what you will, but this is what I want you to understand. Does anybody remember when the president, right after he was elected the second time, went to, I think he was speaking at the UN, and I wish we'd pulled the clip, but we didn't. And this is what he said. The future does not belong to those who criticize the prophet. The future does not belong to those who criticize the prophet. What people don't understand, because they just have so little knowledge, is that there is a worldwide effort to stop any criticism of Muslims or Islam. It's the Organization of Islamic States, with Mrs. Clinton, is very tied to, joined at the hip, leading the charge. It's their worldwide goal to make it illegal, punishable, for saying anything bad about Islam. And our press is complying with it. It's like they're scared rabbits. And people are following the lead. So in America, where we can actually, we have a First Amendment right to say, to express our views about things, express our concerns, the people who are just, they don't understand. They don't understand. They just follow. It's just amazing to me, like right off the cliff. And so, of course, someone like me, they, you know, it's even worse for people that are on the front lines more. And there are threats. There are very serious threats with criticizing the prophet. Just ask Al-Hirsi, who I can't think of the rest of her name. But people who have been, I'm sorry, I've got a technical problem. So now I'm going to be back with you in just a second. There are threats to people who say these things in all kinds of countries. You're not allowed to do this. Just ask all of those that have been killed. Van Gogh, Theo Van Gogh, the filmmaker in Holland. I can't think of her, Hirsi, the Ethiopian woman who has been held in, like, almost in prison in Holland, and now she's here in this country and having to fear for her life. Pam Geller. It's a very serious thing to Sharia-compliant Muslims. And so Mr. Khan was cooperating with that same narrative. And the blindness is that because he lost his son, somehow, this is what the narrative is, you cannot quarrel or object to any of his political views, which are to shut up any criticism of Islam or the prophet. And I also would add that Mr. Khan, if you haven't read, he's an immigration attorney. He makes a lot of money bringing Muslims into this country. So there's also a profit motive in him going after Donald Trump. So I'm sorry if I just don't understand the logic that says because he lost a son and his wife and he are mourning, that, you know, you can respect that and grieve for them and still speak the truth about his political statements. They're not mutually exclusive. And we live in a country where we have First Amendment rights. We just do. We can say what we think. We should say what we think. So, I mean, I'm happy for your, I'm not your filthy remarks or your wishes that I die. That's not, I'm not crazy about that. But if you don't agree, you have that right. You want to not have that right? You want someone to come knock on your door and arrest you because you didn't agree with me? Really? Is that where this is going? Anyway, that's the first part of that. The other thing is, I just want you to be aware of this. This is from a Diana on Facebook. She says, as the daughter, sister, and cousin of more service people than I can count, including my father, who was shot down twice during World War II. And so that's hers. And then Jeff writes in, I'm a veteran of 10 years in the military, one in Vietnam. And, you know, I don't know if they're real people. They could be. But this is what the left always does. I am a conservative. I'm a Christian. I am a, you know, I went to Liberty. They always use lines like that to so that you will think that they are actually, it supposedly gives more credence to their criticism. But it's often not true. I mean, when you look at their Facebook pages, they're usually made up people from made up places, or, and you don't, they don't listen. There's no way they could listen. They maybe listen to a clip in Right Wing Watch, but they are not listeners of the show. So that's okay. I mean, people have a right to say anything, but the most important point to you is that we must defend our First Amendment freedoms to speak what's true. And we must not buy into this politically correct shaming, this swarming, and even worse, to the shutdown of our ability to express ourselves. All right, let me go to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. Let's go to James in North Carolina. Good morning, James.
Yes, good morning. What is wrong with these people? Evidently, our so-called leaders, either they can't read or they don't want to read. They're talking about the Second Amendment doesn't do this, and it doesn't cover that, and the Constitution doesn't cover this and that. If it didn't cover it, why would it say it does? But what I don't understand is why people don't understand that this man has been collaborating with our enemies, because you know, every time they sent so-called arms to the rebels, it seemed like ISIS got the doggone arms. Now, that, and they're going to tell us that they don't know where the stuff ends up at. But,
yeah.
But last week you mentioned something about the new Black Panther parties and the Department of Defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, would they combine them or something?
Oh, no, I think what you're talking about is in J. Christian Adams' book, he covers the movement of the Black Panthers into the new Black Panthers in his book, and he shows pictures and gives quotes of a rally with Mrs. Clinton, President Obama, and the new Black Panthers leadership on the stage with them. In this moment, I can't tell you what the occasion was, but they're absolutely given credence. If I had time, in fact, maybe we need to revisit that, James, but that was the source of that comment from J. Christian Adams' book. It's amazing, isn't it? It is just amazing. Do you think
it's
that
not. It's
it isn't
new? No. In 1992 or 93, when our government formed a multi-jurisdictional task force, it says they incorporated the street gangs, the Bloods, the Crips from all the big cities. And they equipped them, they uniformed them, they trained them. And that's the same thing that Hitler did when he went to the bars and stuff and incorporated all the thugs and thieves and everything else that he could find. And they're using them as cannon fodder.
You know, James, the other part of this I'm just remembering is that Hillary Clinton actually worked for the Black Panthers, not the new ones, the old Black Panthers, after she graduated from college. You know, so people just don't know. And so this is why we have to talk about this stuff. James, I appreciate your comments. Thank you so much, and thanks for listening. Let's go to Roy in Oklahoma. Good morning, Roy.
Good morning. I'd just like to share with the listeners that Hillary Clinton has been on the board of directors of Walmart since the very beginning, not only being an attorney, but on the board of directors. And they always claim they don't have any money, you know, the Clintons. Can you imagine if a stock clerk is a millionaire from when they got in the very beginning with stock splits and whatnot? She's still involved with Walmart. And that woman who was siding with Hillary Clinton in this, the heiress.
Alice Walton.
She probably doesn't have any choice in the matter. And one other thing that...
Wait a minute. Why would you say she doesn't have any choice in the matter?
Well, if she's the heiress to Walmart and Hillary Clinton is on a board of directors, she controls the money, she controls the power, and anything that Walmart started out with Sam Walton.
Well, yeah, but Roy, I don't want to get you off because I want you to finish your original point, but let me just say that Alice Walton is helping raise money for Hillary Clinton. She's giving money herself, so I just want to clarify that. But what was your original point? I want you to finish that.
Well, just as Hillary Clinton controls just about everything Walmart does, and an example I hadn't thought of till just now. Years ago, Walmart used to sell handguns as well as rifles. Somebody came into Walmart and bought a handgun and used it to try to hold up the store. And immediately, Walmart dropped all handguns, and it kind of fits with Hillary having the say-so over what the whole corporation does and the direction it's gone.
That's very interesting, Roy.
I'm just pointing out she has more power in the economy and in the what's going on behind the scenes with companies like Walmart and the world expansion of
it. Well, look at all these companies, these billionaires that are coming out in her support. You'd think she'd want to hide that. You know, she's supposed to be the people, the candidate of the people, just the plain people, the poor people. But look indeed who is actually pulling the strings and who she's cooperating with. It's just... It really is amazing, Roy, and I thank you for your insights this morning. All right, we have to take a break. Sandy Rios in the morning. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Back with your calls right after this.
Marquis Laughlin is founder of Acts of the Word Ministry and host of the radio and online show, The Moral Dilemma. He challenges believers to develop a biblical worldview through dramatized illustrations and interpretive readings of the Bible.
They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Marquis Laughlin is sure to be an entertaining speaker this year at the annual AFA Retreat at the Cove, October 3rd through 6th. Space is limited to 400 attendees, so make your plans soon. Get more information at afafoundation.net. Register by calling 800-950-2092, option 1, followed by option 2. It's the annual Retreat at the Cove in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of North Carolina at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. And we hope to see you there.
OneNewsNow.com with news, videos, and stories from the American Family Association.
To determine whether the girl can take her baby home or the state will retain custody.
A case for children being homeschooled.
Minimum wage increases in New York would do more harm than good.
OneNewsNow.com features the latest breaking stories from across the U.S. and around the world, and news of the challenges Christians face today. Bookmark OneNewsNow.com.
Here's parenting expert John Rosemond, host of the American Family Radio program, Because I Said So.
My mission is to restore biblical, commonsensical parenting to a culture that holds children up as idols.
Join us for Bible-based parenting and family advice Saturday afternoon at 5 Central with John Rosemond on American Family Radio. It's Because I Said So.
Oh, and by the way, grandparents are welcome. They better be, because I am one.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. For the first time in our nation's history, a state is now applying sexual orientation and gender identity laws to churches. The Iowa Civil Rights Commission has stated that churches in Iowa, which are open to the public, must censor their teaching on human sexuality and comply with transgender bathroom laws or face crippling fines. Isn't every church open to the public? Yet this Iowa commission is the sole determiner of how the law will be applied. As an attorney for Alliance Defending Freedom stated, churches should be free to communicate their religious beliefs and operate their houses of worship according to their faith without fearing government punishment. And until the law is changed, every church in Iowa has a right to be concerned. If religious liberty is trampled in the Bible Belt, how long will it be before every church is targeted? This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. On Wednesday, President Obama gave another 214 convicted drug traffickers what he calls a second chance. That's clearly good news for them, but bad news for us. Typically, more than three-quarters of such offenders resume their criminal activities. They get a new opportunity to destroy lives and threaten public safety through the devastating effects of their narcotics trade and/or through murderous violence. To be sure, the president claims that the felons he's turning loose by shortening their sentences are all nonviolent criminals. That's as preposterous as his insistence that $400 million in cash secretly flown into Iran just before American hostages were released wasn't ransom. In fact, under the law, drug trafficking is recognized as an inherently violent activity. It's not just fraud. It's dangerous malfeasance to give hardened drug-dealing criminals a second chance to kill us. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you on this Friday. Aren't you glad it's Friday? I was just thinking this morning, I'm looking forward to this weekend. We're not traveling. It's just to have a regular, wonderful time going to church and just doing what people do. And I was also thinking about how precious that time is. And I don't know if you've ever lived through a period of time in your life where things were not normal because of some crisis, some heartache. And it's funny because it's not the big things you miss. It's not like I wish we had tickets to go to some fancy concert or out to dinner. It's the simple things you miss. And I was just I was in a state of gratitude that this is I'm grateful that tomorrow and the next day, as far as I know, a life can be normal. And we don't know how many more of those days we're going to have, do we? None of us, ever. So living, for this day and being grateful to God, whatever it brings. This is interesting because we're going to go back to the phones in just a second, 888-589-8840. But some interesting thoughts from you guys. I wish I could read them all, but you know I can't. This is from Thomas. He said, I've always been a big fan. You've always had an unbiased view, but you spend a lot of time defending Trump and trying to rebut any negative publicity he gets. Granted, the Clinton team does its best to spin a lot of it, but you spend way too much time defending Trump's actions, negative and otherwise. I think Trump is nothing more than a plant to get Hillary elected. If you want to continue to support this fraud, go right ahead, but I have to say I'm very disappointed. People keep saying that if we don't vote for Trump, we'll get Hillary. Well, I think we lost our country already by not electing Cruz. And this is from Paul. He says, Raul. He says, all Republicans not supporting Trump should be held accountable if Hillary wins. It is disgraceful, the lack of support. While Trump is not my first choice, for me, it's the best chance America has to survive. So that's kind of an example of the ranging views from some of you listening. And I would have to say, we have to give this so much thought. When I think about Hillary Clinton and the things she said, you know, one of the things that she has said that is so appalling, really, is that we're going to have to alter religious beliefs in order to expedite abortion. We can't, you know, those are inconvenient and people are just going to have to change their deeply held core religious beliefs and, you know, embrace abortion. That's basically what she said. And I think about these deals with Iran. You know, she was the architect of this deal. She was the head of the State Department when this took place. There are some very real concerns. And when people flippantly say, and I honestly say this in all due respect to you, Tom, you're not the only person that said this, something like this. Well, you know, we've already lost it, so whatever. I'm not ready for that. I'm not going to live that much longer, I don't think, really. I mean, maybe 20 years if I'm lucky. But my kids are going to live here, and so are their children. Don't we care about the future? Don't we have a responsibility to do what we know is the best choice, even if it isn't the choice we wanted? It's just interesting to me. That's kind of a variance on the presidential election. Of course, Trump is down, it depends on who you listen to, as much as 10 points. And I think I heard 6 or 7, I don't know. But according to the polls, and he's lost ground in some of those battleground states since the convention. So I would never in my life have thought that it's possible that Hillary Clinton could win the presidency. I would never in my lifetime have thought that, given what I know about her. I can hardly believe it. But since Bill Clinton was elected a second time after we knew what he did with Monica Lewinsky, after President Obama was elected a second time, after what he did to destroy our healthcare system and his collusion with our enemies, really, I guess I sort of say, well, yeah, I guess, you know, it just might happen. So those are some of my thoughts about it. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Sue in Texas. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to let you know, I am Sam Walton's great niece. And I guarantee you that if Sam Walton were still living, Hillary Clinton wouldn't be on the board of directors, and he would be still selling guns in Walmart. For someone to take over his company like they have underhandedly and put corrupt individuals on that board of directors, he is so turning in his grave, as to speak. He was a great man. He was a Christian. And I guarantee you, his children have been a disgrace to him.
You know, Sue, I don't know anything.
It just makes me sad that people think of Walmart the way they do. I understand why they do. I don't shop there. But Hillary Clinton, I'm from Arkansas originally. I live in Texas, got here as quickly as I could, you know. But the Clintons in Arkansas are thought of as nothing but thieves, murderers, and liars. The people in Arkansas hate the Clintons. I'm saying the everyday people, not the wealthy, you know, speak your out of both sides of your mouth, people.
So let me ask you about that, because, of course, you've heard, probably and likely have heard me talk about, I've been covering the Clintons a long, long time. And certainly when Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas and he was running for president, I interviewed the state troopers. That's about as far back as when I started really learning their past, and the state troopers who were reporting how they were bringing women to him. All right, so it's more and more disgrace. We could go on and on. I know that, and I don't want to rehearse all those details. But it really surprises me a little bit that do you really think that the people of Arkansas reject them to the degree that you're saying? Maybe the people that you know, but do you think really it's that widespread, the rejection of them?
Oh, I am on Facebook with everybody from my high school and everyone from my daughters. I have 3 daughters, and they all went to high school in Arkansas and graduated college in Arkansas. And I am friends with everybody in that area, and no one has anything good to say about the Clintons in Arkansas.
Well, that's
what
interesting.
I'm telling you. They have won elections by dead people voting, you know, and people, they've paid to vote 2 and 3 times. And I can see why Trump would be saying that they're going to steal the election, because I guarantee you they're going to try.
Yeah,
and they will.
Okay.
Succeed if he doesn't really watch it.
Yeah, I think you're right, Sue. Listen, it's interesting to hear from you, especially with your past and your insights. It's sad, sad as it is. It's interesting to hear. Thank you, Sue. You know, it has been my experience that history records that the children of very wealthy people more often than not, do not hold to the values of their parents. It's just the gold standard. I mean, you know, there are exceptions. I have a friend that's a very wealthy person who ran a very big company that you would all know. And I remember him telling me personally, I'm not leaving my children. I'm not leaving them my money. I'm sure he'll leave them some, but he said, I'm not leaving it because he spent his life raising them to make sure that they worked, they've been on mission trips, so that they had a real world experience and did not live coddled lives. You know, one could say that Donald Trump's kids, you know, they are an exception. They really are. They are an exception to the rule. Anyway, it's just an observation. All right, let's go to Lance in Michigan. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Sandy. God bless you.
Thank you.
I'll get right to the point. You know, I'm an Air Force vet and patriot. When I swore the oath to uphold the Constitution, I said, so help me God, at the end. And he has not told me to stand down. Now, if Hillary gets her way and tries to take our guns away from us, she is really going to get the revolution that they're pushing for, but it's not going to go in the way that they want it. It is not. There are millions of people out there that believe the same way I do, and they are going to, they will revolt, and they will defend the Constitution.
Well, I think we may see some violence one way or the other. We've already seen it in the streets. We've seen it at the conventions. And I think, you know, this is what the left wants. They love to stir violence. And as I've said before, they want the violent overthrow of the United States government. That's what they want. And whatever it takes and whoever comes out to fight, that's how it's going to happen. And if we shouldn't be so shocked. Again, that's how we got our freedom. Because people fought. They laid down their lives. And it's going to be amazing. And it's going to be divisive. And it's going to be painful. And not sure how soon, but I think there's going to be some real trouble. Lance, thank you for your service, and thanks for the call. You know, I just read an article this morning I was going to share with you, too. I'll come back to that, but it's about the Obama administration moving to federalize local police. They're doing it very effectively, and nobody seems to be watching. And we'll actually do a show on that, I promise you. If Adam, you have to remind me I said that. All right, let's go to Shirley in Tennessee. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, guys. I agree with the lady. I'm glad she said what she said. I believe Hillary is going to steal the election. She's jumping around like a wet puppy, happy to see its owners. She's not concerned about anything. Someone will be concerned if they needed to go to jail because of stuff they done. She's not, because I believe she's New World Order. That's why she wants to tax the middle class until they're poor, because the New World Order doesn't want a middle class. But you know what's along with this, these crazy laws that they're doing and giving $400 million to Iran, it just said in my spirit that these people at the top who are the richest are exactly what the Bible said. The Lord said in the end times he would send them strong delusion. Watch those words. Strong delusions, because they had reprobate minds and they would not accept Christ. They would not come to the knowledge of the truth. Instead, they profess themselves wise, but they become fools. And we see that. So I just want to encourage everybody to know that the race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but to those who can endure until the end. And remember, if everybody write down Psalms 27 and Proverbs 21:31, Psalms 27 says that some trust in horses and some in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. And he says some at the end, save, Lord. Let the king hear us. When we call, we got a president. His name is Jesus. And Proverbs said, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. So, yes, we'll carry our guns, but at the same time, we'll know that it's only Christ who keeps us safe. And just remember, these people cannot see at the top because God has sent them strong delusion. They have reprobate minds. They will not turn. And the sad point is any of these people that are following them. So I'm saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus, right now, and don't let any of this fool you. Hillary, she sounds like a little girl running around for student government saying, oh, I promise everybody Twinkies and free education and free this and free that, and all you have to do is come to school for 1 hour and you get an automatic A. She sounds like she's promising everything, even stuff that she's not going to do. But that taxing of the middle class, I take that very serious, because that shows who she is. They don't care about life. That's why they support abortion. That's why Obama's giving $400 million to Iran. The criminals are being let out of jail because they are showing you they don't care about life. And anybody who votes for her is going to be sad, even though it doesn't matter, because I believe also as a lady that they're running around seeking a way to steal the election. And I also agree with the right.
Shirley, I'm going to interrupt you because we're going to run out of time. And you have said so many good things. I mean, the scripture just washes over me. I'll tell you that this morning to hear it. But we only have a minute and a half left or so. And I want to ask you now, from your perspective as a Christian, you know that there people would say to you, I've just read some email here, that Donald Trump is just as bad and Christians can't possibly vote for him, and that we should just give up. We didn't vote for Ted Cruz, and so, you know, God is bringing judgment, so whatever. I'm not voting for Donald Trump because he's corrupt, and so whatever happens, happens. What do you think? You have a minute. That's all.
I think that we have to depend on Christ. Donald Trump's not the answer. Only Jesus is.
Good answer, Shirley. And you know that story was of, that response was of the Lord because it was brief. I always know that when I'm articulate that God is moving in me, because otherwise my natural state is that I say way too much. Shirley, God bless you and thanks for those words this morning. Shirley is right. You know, some do trust in chariots and others in horses, but we do put our faith in the name of the Lord our God. And that is where our hope is. Meanwhile, we do have to vote and we have to make a hard choice. And I just encourage all of you to pray about it and to realize the results of your choice. They are important for the future. As much as we know humanly, we have to do what's right. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.